didn't sneak back to the altar and pick those burdens back up after you laid them down, but you left them there.
Yes, amen.
We used to sing a song that said, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Yes. And it's sad that we have to tell people to leave it there, because they get all excited at church and lay it down, and then on their way out they go, oops, almost forgot my burdens. Look at somebody and tell them, you are the blessed of the Lord. God is doing good things in you. Now sit down. Got a praise report from Sister Deborah Washington. Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you too for watching over us, me and my granddaughter, on that long drive home from college in Nashville, Tennessee. I have no doubt you're with us, leading us, guiding, directing, and protecting us. And then she lists a number of scriptures that she is standing on in that belief.
Amen.
When you're standing on the Word, you're in solid territory. I want to talk to you tonight for a moment about kingdom citizenship. The gospel of the kingdom is one of the least taught messages in churches today. I happened to walk in the other day and Christian Broadcasting was on, and Bill Winston was talking about the kingdom of God. I have begun more and more since we started talking to you about the importance of the kingdom of God, hearing individuals who are awakening to this truth. Jesus didn't say that go into all the world and preach the message of salvation. Although, if you listen to most evangelists, you'd think that's what he said. He said, go into all the world and preach the message of the kingdom. A lot of people say the number one driving force of a Christian's life should be winning souls. But the Lord Jesus Christ said the number one goal is seeking the kingdom of God. Because when the kingdom of God is established, people will come from north and south and east and west, and they will want to enter in. What have you got? How did you get it? How do I get in there? And there has been a breakdown in so many of the early biblical doctrines that I almost want to apologize for what has occurred in the church, but I didn't do it. My fingerprints aren't on it. But the message of salvation started in Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you will confess the lordship of the anointed Redeemer with your mouth, because you believe in your heart that he is Lord, you will be born again. And it has gone from that to just tell Jesus you're sorry for your sins and he'll forgive you, and now you're a Christian. I can't find a place in the Bible that says you'll be born again by saying you're sorry for your sins. In fact, he said, don't even mention your sins, because I'm not keeping record of them. I am not imputing your trespass against you. Yet, in many of your old line churches, there's a cardinal doctrine of God's going to get you for that. That he's going to one day look in his book and see all that you've done wrong. Well, how can it be in the book if he forgot it? It's too bad believers don't read their Bible for themselves. As a young man, I grew up in church. Then I went to Bible college, but it was a denominational Bible college. And by the time I left there, I decided I never should have went. The junk they were teaching just did not make my spirit sing. This semester we're dealing in the kings and prophets. Next semester we're dealing in the travels of children of Israel in the wilderness. Never did they mention the message of the kingdom of God. My education was worthless because they didn't tell me the truth about the lordship of the anointed Redeemer. But to become a citizen of the kingdom, the Bible says you must be born of the Spirit and of the water. Now, a lot of people ask, what does that mean to be born of the Spirit and of the water? Being born of the Spirit means you surrender when the Holy Spirit draws you, because no one comes to the Father except the Spirit draws them. You hear people say, I decided when I was going to get saved. Then you probably didn't. Because my Bible says no one comes to the Father except the Spirit draws him. But many of you know you were in a church service, a revival service, you were somewhere sometime, and you felt within you, I have got to pray that prayer. I've got to let God into my life. That was being born of the Spirit. What does it mean to be born of the Spirit? It means that I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and submit to what He told me to do. And I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that the anointed Redeemer, the Yeshua HaMashiach of God, is Lord. His last name was not Christ. The word Christ is a transliteration of Anointed One. Most literally, one smeared with fat. So your entrance into the kingdom begins with being led of the Spirit. When you feel the Spirit of God tugging at your heart, you yield to that lordship. And that is your first act of obedience to the King and to the kingdom. Then it says, be born of water. We have taught you about water baptism. That water baptism is not a ritual of the church. It's not a rite of Christianity. It is a testimony of your identity with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. That's why you can't be sprinkled. You step into the baptismal pool and you yield to a minister of the gospel who puts you under the water, signifying that you're joining him in his death. And then that minister draws you up out of the water, signifying that you are joining him in his resurrection. And that becomes a testimony for all the congregation who sees, to the devil and to the demons, that I have made public profession of the resurrection power of the anointed Redeemer, and he is my Lord. So there are two phases to water baptism. As a child, I was baptized because that's what you did in the church. When you got to the age of accountability, which I've never found in the Word of God, but at 12 years of age, my family expected me to get baptized. So on baptismal Sunday, I joined a crowd of people as we waded into the Gulf in Corpus Christi, and I was baptized in salt water. So I got a touch of antibiotic and the Spirit. the healing virtue of salt water. It doesn't matter whether you are baptized in a swimming pool, a hot tub, a church baptistry, a running stream of water. I had one church that taught you're not really forgiven unless it's a running stream of water so your sins are washed away. So if you wasn't baptized in a creek or a river, you wasn't really baptized. How some of these doctrines get started, I just sit back and laugh at ignorance. And you should also. Because it's not where you're immersed, it's the fact that you yield to being immersed in water that a representative of the gospel puts you under the water to identify with his death, lifts you out of the water to identify with his resurrection. And at that moment, you've given testimony to the resurrection power of the Lord of all the kingdom. So that's how we start in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God did not come until after the cross. Up until the cross, Jesus said, go everywhere saying the kingdom is nigh, it's near, it's about to burst out of the ground. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You can't share an inheritance with saints with your understanding darkened. You've got to know what you're doing. We had a young lady attending church for a while, and she was an attractive little blonde hair, blue-eyed, who would go on the streets and get a group of people together and say, now all of y'all repeat after me. I receive Jesus as my personal Savior. I'm sorry for my sins, and I accept him as my Lord. Now all of y'all are born again. And she'd come to church and go, I got 25 people saved this week. I've heard women come to church and say, my husband's finally a Christian. I told him I was not going to eat or sleep or rest until he prayed the sinner's prayer. He didn't pray the sinner's prayer. He said words to shut you up. Because he wasn't led of the Spirit. If you're born of the Spirit, not of your wife's complaints. Just because you lead people in saying the words don't mean they're born again. Because it says you must believe in your heart that what you're saying is going to make a difference. And then you must be born of the water to give public testimony of his lordship, that I am now under that lordship and I identify with it. When you understand from Romans chapter 6 what water baptism is, you may want to get baptized all over so that you can give public testimony of the lordship of the anointed Redeemer. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. When you are born again, you come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and it's done for you. He transferred you. He took your name out of that kingdom, and he plugged your name into this kingdom, the kingdom of light. In the kingdom of light, there is no darkness at all. So to grow in the kingdom of light, you must grow in your new covenant scripture. On Sundays, we're in a series on confession. And confession is the way you wash your mind from stinking thinking to kingdom thinking. You're not confessing the word to make it come to pass. You're not confessing the word to join some club. And it's not how many times you say it. It's that you believe in your heart what you're saying. And so you quote the promises and provisions of the New Testament, and it changes your thinking. I'm no longer of the kingdom of darkness. I've been transferred. When I was a kid, we would move every once in a while. My father would be elected to another church, and we would leave the place where we were, and I would go to another school. And they would transfer my records from the old school to the new school, and now there's no record of me at the old school because I took my transcript with me to the new school. The devil has no hold on you. Your citizenship has been transferred for you. Why? Because you identified with his lordship. You were identifying with the lordship of Satan as you did his bidding, giving in to anger, strife, discord, lust, all of the things that you yielded to. Every time you yielded, you were approving his lordship. That's why, as a born-again child of God, that which is born of God sins not. You can no longer yield your members to the kingdom of darkness because you can't serve two masters. You've got to turn your back on the world and start embracing the new truth of who you are in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, I am righteous. I am sin-free. I'm healed. I'm made whole. I'm wealthy. I'm filled with the promise of God. Amen. When you realize that at the new birth, many things changed as we come under the new lordship of the Lord of this new kingdom, you evolve. Pastor, do we believe in evolution? Not in the evolution of man from plankton, from some primordial ooze, but we do believe in evolution, that the world begins to fall off of you, and you begin to take on new habits and new traits the more you wash your mind with the new covenant truth. A year from your new birth, you should not be at the same place you were at the birth. You should grow in truth, grow in knowledge, grow in understanding. And the easiest way to do that is to confess what the Word of God says about you. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I was healed with his stripes. I am blessed with every blessing in the heavenly realm. Matthew 6:38 says, now that you have entered the kingdom, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that Gentiles want, food, clothing, etc., they'll be added to you as a bonus of coming under his lordship. What does it mean to seek the kingdom? We know from Scripture it doesn't mean to look over here or look over there, because the kingdom is inside you. There's a verse of scripture that has caused many people great consternation. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And people go, I've got to work out my own salvation? No, no, no. You yielded to the Spirit. You yielded to water identification. Now, you read the new covenant to find out who you are, and then you let it work from the innermost part of you to the outside so that you're saved not just from sin, but from terror, from strife, from grief, from sorrow, from everything he went to the cross to deliver you from. You work out your salvation. Well, if I'm his, he should just heal me. Seek the kingdom's way of being healed. Seek the kingdom's way of being prospered. There are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life and godliness. That's why he said, I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from all your destructions. You can be born again, praising God for your salvation, and be wiped out by the devil. If you don't know, you've been delivered from destruction. You've got to say, no, he will not come nigh my dwelling. You've got to cast down every tongue rising against you in judgment. That's your inheritance. Are you working your inheritance? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I'm not righteous because I stopped doing all of these things. We have this list of notable sins, and then we have this list of understandable sins. I'm only human. No, you're not. You're no longer human. You're a son of God. And as a son of God, you get exercise authority. When the devil came to Jesus, he rebuked him. He didn't pray, God, do something about it. He rebuked him. What do you do? No, you're not bringing that to my house. I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I've been redeemed from destruction. Bad news don't belong here, and I'm not allowing it. Now get. You don't fall on your knees and begin to cry out, God, how could this happen to me? Because you're stupid. My house just burned down. Did you call the fire department? Well, they should have seen the smoke. Did you call the police when the burglars broke in? Well, I figured they could hear me screaming. No. In the world, you have to do things. You have to activate what belongs to you as a citizen of Austin. I've got to activate the fire department, the police department, the health department, whatever it is. If I don't, they don't come around knocking on the door going, need any fires put out? Pursuit of the kingdom of God and of the light that comes through the washing of the word so that the kingdom of darkness is broken from your understanding because you have new understanding by confessing the promises and provision that belong to you. Pursuit of the kingdom of light is the number one call of believers. Because when you start acting like a kingdom resident, other people want what you got. You ever notice you buy a new car and people around you go, well, you know, I've been thinking about a car. How did you get yours? Well, when you start getting healed and prospered and you shake off the snakes and let them go into the fire and the poison doesn't bother you, people go, how do you do that? And when you explain it to them, you're establishing kingdom reality. Luke 17:21. For behold, the kingdom of God is in you. He would do you good just to sit down. And if you don't want to study it out, then go to your computer and go to Bible Gateway or one of the other Bible programs that are on there and pull up the word kingdom of God and find out how many references there are in your New Testament to explain the various facets and elements of the kingdom of God. I can tell you I did it, and it's 10 pages of scripture. 10 pages of scripture talking about the kingdom of God. Then pull up kingdom of darkness so you can contrast the two. You're not going to study the kingdom of darkness. After I was born again, people began to ask me about Buddhism, Shintoism, Maoism, all these different religions. So I got a book on how the world's religions began. And I found out after studying all the world's religions that I wasn't any closer to God than I was before I picked up that piece of trash. I was educated. I knew how those religions began and how their leaders fell. I studied Islam. Found out what a pervert Muhammad was. And just because I could tell you why Shriners wear a red fez, because that was a part of Muhammad's teaching, they would take their fez and dip it in blood and wear it as a testimony that I won't rest until every Christian is dead. Now, most Shriners don't know anything about the history of that fez they put on their head. But I wanted to know, what is its meaning? What places did it occupy? After Muhammad led a group of Muslims in slaughtering a Christian city, they took off their fezes and rolled it in the blood of the Christians and put it back on, and all took an oath not to rest until every Christian was slaughtered. I've seen Christians wearing their Shriners fez and have no idea what they're doing. But when you get knowledge, you're not content to live in the world you used to live in. Behold, the kingdom of God is in you. It's in you. Now work out your standing in the kingdom of God by confessing the word until you begin to think, I'm healed, I'm blessed, I'm righteous, I can do all things through the anointing. The kingdom of God came alive within you at the new birth. Don't let it stay in infancy. The package was delivered. It's up to you to develop it. If you had a newborn child and you left them laying in the crib, they would never walk. They would never talk. They would never function as an adult. It's not enough that they have life. That life must be developed. Same with a born-again child of God. There's too many born-again children of God still in diapers with a pacifier. Well, the preacher didn't preach what I wanted to hear this week. I'm not going back. Now, through development of the Word of God, the new mindset of the kingdom begins to take place in you. As it does, it affects the way you think about healing, the way you think about righteousness, the way you think about salvation. The new birth should be a life-changing experience that just started at the new birth, and now you're working out what was deposited in you. At the new birth, the Holy Spirit came inside you. He wrote the new covenant. He knows every passage in it and can open them to you if you'll yield to Him. I have found things in the Word of God that I couldn't study out. I would get my concordance, I'd get my expository dictionary, I'd get my New Testament encyclopedia, and I couldn't find, every time I would read something, it didn't satisfy. And then I would spend time praying in tongues and have the Holy Spirit, in a matter of a twinkling of the eye, open that passage, and I saw marvelous truths hidden in those words. This June we celebrate July, we celebrate 37 years that I've striven to bring you truth, righteous understanding of God and your identity in Him. And I have not scratched the surface of all that is there. Manifesting the kingdom is the way the world is drawn to want what you got. As you manifest your health, your wealth, your joy, your peace, your identity in the anointed Redeemer. Some people ask, why don't I say Jesus Christ? Because that wasn't His name. His name was Yeshua HaMashiach, which literally means Redeemer, Anointed of God. When you say Jesus Christ, that's like saying John Smith. But when you say Anointed Redeemer, now you're plunging into a whole new realm of divine inspiration and power. So it was a choice I made. I could say Jesus Christ, but then you would miss the impact of the Anointed Redeemer. Anointed of God to redeem all of creation. Why? Because it belongs, all of it, in the kingdom of God. And when you begin to read Revelations, it says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. When is Jesus going to return? When we begin to destroy the kingdoms of this world. Pastor, do you believe that's possible? The Word of God prophesies it. The angel didn't come and say, all right, now we can take over all these kingdoms. He says, I'm here now because all of these kingdoms have become the possession of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are a part of that movement. You weren't born again to go to heaven. You were born again to represent heaven down here. The way to get to heaven is to properly represent whose you are and what you have come into. What is the kingdom of God? It is the reign of God, and every time it exercises authority over the power of darkness. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come. What did he say was the sign of the kingdom? Exercising God's power to defeat the devil. To defeat the devil when he tries to bring sickness, when he tries to bring fear, doubt, unbelief, condemnation. Every time you defeat the devil, with it is written, you are exemplifying kingdom of God. If I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come. He said, go everywhere and preach the kingdom. What is part of preaching the kingdom? Heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free. That's your inheritance. Yet most quote-unquote Christians are afraid to pray for somebody with a headache. Can you demonstrate the kingdom of God in fear, in doubt or unbelief? You as a member of the kingdom have inherited the same authority Messiah walked in. The works that I do shall you do, and greater. Why? I'm handcuffed to the law. You won't be. Grace has set you free. Well, Pastor, what if I step out and I fall on my face? What if you don't? You fell on your face and other areas of your anatomy many times learning to walk. Did that cause you to give up on learning to walk? No, you kept getting up. It's all right to have a shortcoming as a born-again child of God, as long as you don't stay there. Mark it and move on. Keep getting up. And you will develop boldness to lay hands on the sick. Because the first time an ear opens, an eye opens, a cripple drops their crutches. I can still remember the first time I prayed for a person and they dropped their crutches and started dancing before the Lord. I can still remember the first time I prayed for someone and they said, I can see. You never forget those victories. You should have an album full of destroying the works of Satan with kingdom truth, kingdom power, kingdom citizenship. If you are born of the Spirit, if you're born of the water, you are a citizen, and you have every right and privilege of citizenship in the kingdom of God. But if you have not studied the kingdom of God, you don't know what belongs to you. You've got to read the will to know what is yours. As you read the will, you confess every promise is mine. God, you said it. That makes it mine. I receive it right now. That's my promise. Don't be content to be a Christian. Don't be content to be saved. No, I'm a born-again child of the Most High God, and my citizenship has been pulled out of darkness, and I've been plugged into the kingdom of light. From that kingdom, I'm to rule and reign the same way my Lord and Redeemer did. You don't have to get special permission. You don't have to go away to Bible school. You get alone with your new covenant and start confessing about you what it says about you. And pretty soon, you will take on a new ability. I remember as a child, I went to school, and as I would master my arithmetic, I got very proud that I could tell you what 2 + 2 was. And I went around telling everybody like they didn't know. And then when I got into my gazintus, do you know how many times 12 goes into 144? I do. I wanted everybody to know the new knowledge I'd gained. Because previously I didn't know, I didn't understand. It's that same way in the kingdom of God. As you write His word on your heart and on your mind, you want to tell everybody what you know and who you have become. You are establishing the kingdom of God as you begin to share the revelation. The thing is, with my education in the public school, most of the people I went to tell already knew it. But you could startle most people in most churches by revealing to them what the kingdom of God is and what belongs to you, and they go, really? I've never been taught that. Current events should never be preached from a pulpit. Social justice, social equity should never be taught from a pulpit. The kingdom of God is what's supposed to be taught. All of those other matters will line up when you start walking as a kingdom citizen. Father God, I thank you for your truth and the power it brings for change. I thank you that as our mind is washed with new covenant realities, we become a different person than we've ever been. We begin to do exploits in your name. We begin to set the captives free. We begin to demonstrate your resurrection triumph, and the world becomes a different place because we gladly proclaim your kingdom and our citizenship in it. And the people said, amen. You're loved, you're blessed. Get in your new covenant and get your new covenant in you.